Today's August 23rd, 2023. Current Bitcoin price is $26,404.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, you know me. I'm just keeping on rocking in a free world.
Or at least some semblance of a free world.
That's right.
So we didn't meet at all last week, and we do apologize to y'all. I think I personally had a super packed week, and I'm pretty sure Rick was pretty busy as well. So that is what happened there. But we wanted to get back together. And that, I mean, aside from Bitcoin having its drawdown, we didn't have a whole lot in the way of major news. There's a lot of little stuff creeping about.
Right.
And it feels
like one fairly big news last week was Michael Burry.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened on the 16th. And that was, so go ahead and like start talking about that a little bit there.
Well, we've been talking about him for a while because he's not exactly the biggest Bitcoin fan out there. But he's all, for those of you who don't know, he's the person that the Big Short was based off of. You know, he made the big bet in 2008 the housing market was going to collapse. And yeah, I think sometime around the beginning of the year in one of our episodes, we talked about, you know, his outlook on the economy. And it wasn't exactly sunshine and rainbows. And we knew he was shorting some things. We didn't know what he was shorting at the time. But it came out last week that he actually put a $1.6 billion bet against the NASDAQ and the S&P 500.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, he released it according to his Scion Holdings or Scion Asset Management. But it looks like an $866 million put option against the fund that tracks the S&P 500 and a $739 million put option against the funds that track the NASDAQ 100. So he's putting... He's using more than 90% of his portfolio to bet the market on a downturn, according to those filings that they've recently released. And kind of interesting, like kind of going back in touch with what we were talking about earlier. When we did mention him earlier in the year, he actually tweeted a message saying, you know, sell. But then by the end of March, he backtracked that and said, I was wrong to say sell. So he's kind of rode the fence. Like he's been watching this stuff for a while. And he's notorious for that. And if you watch The Big Short, like he's very methodical in the way that he watches those movements, right?
Right.
So he's seeing something, and I think you know he's got a big enough put in play to want to be able to short that market. I mean, and I don't know if anybody would ever like. He's got so much on that line there that I think it would be hard for him to lose that, you know what I'm saying? Like it would have to, I don't think anybody could just raise the market just to wipe him out, liquidate him. I don't think they'd have enough revenue to do something like that. But
well, it's a lot harder to raise the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, say versus like GameStop or whatever, right?
Yeah. And I mean, not all traders are always accurate all the time, but I mean, at the same time, if you followed his annualized returns, you would have hit a 56% return according to an analysis by Sure Dividend. Over the same period, for example, the S&P 500 had an annualized return of only about 12%. So he does do a pretty good job of identifying what's happening within the market.
Honestly, only a small percentage of investors do better than, you know, the S&P 500. So that's actually pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So... And I mean, he does have some long positions in place, but I think an overwhelming majority of what he's done now is a short between those two for the NASDAQ and the S&P. So kind of had to play that out. But I mean, we were talking about that earlier, and I think even like last night, for example, there's definitely something that feels like it's heavy in the water. You know, we see Bitcoin saw a drawdown basically because we were riding at that $28,000-$29,000 mark. You know, into the 30,000 range, like we were stuck there for a long time. And now, obviously, we made a decisive move down. It looks like 25 so far has been the bottom. 25, what was that? Looks like it was 25,319, right around there. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen next? That's anybody's game. I still believe we'll hit about 40,000 to 45,000 before the end of this year, going into the halving next year. But I could be completely wrong too. And I think, I mean, a lot of people are rallying behind the idea that the spot Bitcoin ETFs are going to get approved.
Yeah. I mean, a lot hinges on that, I guess.
Yeah. And by no means is that a guarantee.
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is, you know, if BlackRock gets their ETF, I mean, is that going to be good fit for Bitcoin, or are they going to use that power to draw it down some more?
Well, and if they're going to draw it down, my assumption would be that they would draw it down prior to the announcement, would be my assumption. But I could be wrong. I mean, we did have a Bitcoin ETF that went live in Europe, I believe just yesterday on the 22nd, a spot Bitcoin ETF out of Amsterdam. I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, I did too. Now that you mentioned it. So I don't know, things are definitely happening. Well, one thing, I was watching some videos on people talking about what's happening in the markets, and generally the news is just not good anywhere. And it seems like what's holding everything up is the fact that stocks are doing okay, you know, nothing's crashed, but usually it's kind of the inverse, where the economy is moving along and things feel good and the market responds positively. Now it's like the economy is almost resting on the markets, what they're doing right now. It's just really off kilter. I mean, I've been saying that for a long time, but it just feels even worse and worse as time goes on.
Yeah, and I know, you know, we had a big announcement this evening, actually, once the stock market closed, from NVIDIA. And I believe if NVIDIA had not hit their projections, we probably would have seen a massive sell-off in the markets coming tomorrow. However, they did hit their projections. They did hit their earnings report. And that's all basically tied to their chips for AI. So, but I mean, again, like, that's just a little string of hope that's keeping everybody. It's the confidence game again, right?
Right.
So, yeah, that's kind of interesting. I mean, and kind of tying into that too, we also have the economic outlook is going on in Jackson Hole. The meeting done by the Kansas Fed is taking place right now. We won't have any news from this until the 25th, is when they're going to kind of give their announcements of whatever they do when they're there, where they sit around and probably just plan how everything is going to go for the next year. But last time, I think, is when they had discussed the interest rates and all those types of things, what they were going to be doing with that. And so now we're kind of in that holding pattern, waiting until we see what that outlook is from Jerome Powell and crew. So, yeah, I wish we knew more. And it's weird. It's the Kansas City Fed that puts it on, but it is in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. But that's a fairly, I think it's an annual event. We kind of interesting to be a fly on a wall there.
Yeah, well, I don't even know if they know what they're doing. They're just going to come out with some notes in a few days, and the markets are going to react one way or the other.
There was a big announcement, and I don't have it in front of me, so I probably really shouldn't even bring this up. But from what I understand, the FDIC has been pretty miffed at the smaller banks, and they're going to start to require them hold a certain amount in reserves because they don't want to be required to have to pay everybody out like they had to with Silicon Valley Bank. And I'm guessing if they can't hold the reserves the way that they're asking them to, they're probably going to pull their charters.
I mean, that won't cause any problems across the banking sector at all, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and we've talked about that, how like these little banks keep on getting kind of gobbled up. And that may play directly into that, where they're just going to be like, well, if you can't, we'll get somebody that can.
Yeah. You know, and it's kind of something else that I've been seeing too, is like a lot of people have been debanked at these bigger institutions.
Mm-hmm.
like there was that one kind of doctor, he's like an internet doctor, he talks against the general mainstream consensus. I think his name is Mercola. He like several people in his company got debanked from Chase recently. When you start looking at CBDCs and what's happening with all the big banks consolidating, the FDIC promising to protect banks with a certain size balance sheet, it's kind of the direction things are being pushed, is the larger institutions are going to swallow up the small ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean, it just seems like it's that kind of that domino effect that we're seeing kind of just play out with a lot of those things. And of course, I mean, we still have the commercial real estate market, which we know is on shaky ground. Home mortgages are finally starting to, like, they're finally like really starting to see a big slowdown in the application process. But whenever you're buying a home and you're a private individual, a 7% interest rate is not cheap on a house. I mean, comparatively speaking.
Historically, it is.
Yeah.
But in recent history, no.
In the past 20 years, not so much. So, I mean, and that makes sense, right? Like, I mean, if the home values are super overpriced, people that have a really good interest rate, they're not wanting to refi. They'd rather not do that. If they've got a good coupon on their mortgage, they're not going to try and refi and get in at a higher rate. There's no point.
I even say that they wouldn't even try and sell unless they absolutely had to.
Yeah.
Because if they sell now and they took their equity into something else, they're going to not have near as much, their interest rate's not going to be as friendly.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree with you on that. So something's got to give one way or another. I really do. I think we've said this earlier in an episode, was really commercial, I think, is worth keep an eye on. I think that may be first, but I could be completely wrong.
Maybe not.
And then we did have, I mean, just a couple real quick things too. Bitcoin hit its, increase in difficulty again for the second time this month. And apparently they've got an all-time new hash rate. So more and more miners are coming online.
Yeah, if you were looking at the mining strictly, you would think that the price is going up.
It should, by all rights. Usually, the price follows hash rate traditionally. So we're seeing some sort of suppression in the market. But at the same time, too, like, I mean, a lot of, the big rallies that we've seen so far this year in Bitcoin have been based off of two things. One was those collapses of those banks. One was kind of the speculation on the spot ETF getting approved. The Fed has pretty much said there, or not the Fed, the SEC has pretty much said they're not going to do that until sometime in 2024. Which, if you follow the Discord channel, we have a picture up where it all kind of coincides at the same time frame, around that January mark. So, we have that going on. And I mean, I wonder where Bitcoin would be had FTX not collapsed.
That's a good point.
But even that seems shady as could be. The whole fiasco. I mean, he was buddy-buddy with Gensler, and there was a lot of weird things that were going on, and then it looked like they were doing some sort of a money laundering scheme through Ukraine.
Yes. Some pretty weird stuff there.
Yeah. So, I mean, was that like a puppet play to like just keep the market tampered down? I don't know. But the other thing that we had at news-wise that I was going to bring up was apparently BRICS has been meeting this week. With China, and Putin's been watching from a lonely room by himself, apparently. And he's got, Moscow being attacked by drones and China's flooding and everything else. But, they're all good. And there was this cryptic announcement that came out from Dilma Rousseff. And I'm not even sure if I'm saying that last name right, where she's basically stating, we expect to lend between $8 billion and $10 billion this year. Our aim is to reach about 30% of everything we lend in local currency.
So what is she talking about in billion, though?
Well, I mean, when she says billion, like, and I don't know if this is just a misquote or, but the way the article is written, it has a dollar sign. So,
okay. Well, I mean, maybe that's the value that they're looking to lend.
Yeah. And it says, she's further quoted as saying, local currencies are not alternatives to the dollar. They're alternatives to a system. So far, the system has been unipolar. It's going to be substituted by a more multipolar system.
Yep. Well, I think that's kind of what China and Russia and all these other smaller countries are trying to do, is to take away the hegemony from America, right? They control the finances of the world. So,
yeah. And I know China has been trying to do their own version of kind of like their Belt and Road loaning programs. Yeah, their initiatives where they, you know, they're loaning money to these countries that need infrastructure development and stuff like that. And again, they're doing it. We do the same thing in the United States. They're doing it at a higher interest rate. And if they're unable to repay, then they're in their pocket at that point. They default. So, I mean, it's curious to see how that's all going to play out. Right now, apparently the institution or the BRICS nations themselves currently have considering membership applications from around 15 countries and is likely to approve 4 or 5 of these. But they didn't say who they were. So, I don't know. Not sure what's going to play out.
Nope, not here. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the dollar, but, you know, I don't really have a whole lot of faith in China. They're leading BRICS. I mean, they may be the fourth letter in that alphabet, but they're the ones at the forefront. And if there's some type of gold-backed BRICS currency, it's going to be held by China. And as I said before, everything in China is fraudulent. I wouldn't trust it.
Did you hear, I think it was this last week, they said that they were going to stop announcing their youth unemployment numbers out of China.
Yeah, that I did not hear that, but that sounds pretty in line with them.
Well, and the crazy thing about it then is, so there's a couple things, right? Like, we don't believe anything that comes out of China, but if they're unwilling to report that any longer, like, that's not good.
Yeah, that shows there's a lot of weakness there if they want to just ignore it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, most definitely. So we do apologize that, you know, we've had a little bit of a delay, but we will continue to bring this stuff back. We'll have some more information from the Jackson Hole meeting this next week that we can get together and we can talk about. And then, of course, we still have newsletter en route. We've been revamping the website, and then hopefully we'll have some merch and maybe some affiliate links for some hardware wallets and those types of things coming here pretty soon too, so you can help support us and allow us to kind of continue this stuff and do well with it. So that's my sales pitch.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, Hans, and thank you everyone for listening.
We will talk to y'all soon.